This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Caleb locked into the Super Bowl. Like, a lot of guys don't want to admit that they're watching the game, but Caleb apparently was and texting his coach. The other thing that made me kind of grin was that you can watch the NFL Network.
I think I was listening to it. I may have heard that in my travels.
Sorry.
But also bragging that he's got NFL Network radio in his car.
Bragger.
Was
that a brag? Is that a humble brag?
I'm rich and I'm dead sexy.
We were talking about you were jealous that I had a washing machine for a couple more days.
I still am.
Right, you're still waiting.
I don't hate you. I'm just jealous of you.
They have laundromat. I'll give you some quarters.
Some dry cleaners do laundry by the pound.
Oh, that's probably very cheap.
Depending where you're at.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. With your broke ass.
Look at how Dustin lives. I must stop at the dry cleaners.
Could you fold my jeans, please?
My underwear needs a double dose.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Could you crease my t-shirts?
You didn't iron my wares.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. What a glorious Thursday of all days. You want to come over, David? You want to come in and take a sniff of some of my clothes?
No.
Laundry fresh, buddy.
Actually, don't. Boys.
You got to get over here.
Good morning, Mully.
I threw in some fabric softener. I got to tell you, living the dream this morning.
It certainly smells like it. So that's great. I love it. We are all pressed and cleaned and
yes.
All ready to go. Another Thursday following a Bulls loss. Another Thursday looking at the... White Sox loss and the Cubs win.
Didn't they draw? Or I forgot what happened.
Last night was a little bit of everything last night,
did
though.
Did they play during the day? Didn't they have a draw? Did I miss that?
I don't. The Cubs? No, the Cubs Cubs are still rolling. Cubs are still rolling right along.
Unbeaten?
They flew the T yesterday.
Yeah, they flew the T.
The tie.
They did not lose.
Yeah, they did not lose.
They are without a loss this spring training.
They rallied with 3 in the 8th.
Yeah.
And it's 4-4.
Undefeated. Never lost.
I wondered what that was, the freshness that we walked into the studio with. I wondered about, I didn't want to ask.
Man.
These are not things you want to ask.
You know, I have enough
clothes.
Did you
wash your clothes today?
I didn't. No, I was, it wasn't like I was unclean, but this, the stuff I'm wearing right now is fresh out of the wash. I did 2 loads of wash yesterday because we got our washer and dryer replaced.
Awesome.
It would be awesome. I don't understand why we had to replace the dryer. Apparently, they're like 10 years old. You got to change everything and you got to do it. You need to have it look right, whatever. I mean, my wife said, I wonder where they're taking that. And I said, that guy's taking it to his house. I mean, that thing's still working fine.
Well, you know what, though? Some of those guys, if they can get the washer out of the house, they deserve to keep it.
Oh, my God. That was the case.
That is the hardest job around.
You're so right.
These guys are like Houdini. They should go straight to the job site, to the stage, because they're able to maneuver. And can you get that out of there? No, I'm going to have to remove your wall. And then, I mean, how do they do it?
And we have our laundry on the second floor. Which was dead handy.
Well, that's a mistake.
No, it was really handy.
That's a mistake. Every time
when the kids were little.
But every time you wash and dry, you got to walk upstairs?
No, you just got to get out of your bedroom and throw it in.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
It's I see.
So the kids, when they were little, man, it was like the greatest thing ever because you didn't have to go collect clothes
and
go march down the stairs and do the routine I did my whole life.
These guys, though, they
broke their rear ends.
They have the strongest backs.
There were two guys, and I'm looking at them like, should I jump in and help or?
No, you need to get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
You can offer because you feel bad because, oh my gosh.
I feel bad.
How could you support that on your back? What an angle. Great leverage.
I know.
Those guys look like they could squat 405 pounds.
I mean, seriously. That's right. Yeah, speaking of Ben Johnson, he brought my new washer in on his back.
Was that his other? Was that what he did in college?
He could have.
Did he have a job?
It's pretty... What an odd thing to kind of get out of a guy, but he did. He could squat 405. When's the last time you squatted?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a long time.
That was when you were competitively lifting,
that's
I believe.
When I was back in my powerlifting days.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You still got your weight belt, David?
I don't have my weight belt. I do have the same weights I've had since I was like 14 years old.
I do, too. I don't have them. They were in my parents' garage. But, yeah, I've got my dad fabricated a squat rack back in the day. And I had the big blue couple weight belts hanging from that squat rack.
That's hysterical.
Looking
do you
at
still have the weight belt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two, that's a picture.
Two weight belts.
That's got to be a picture. We should take that picture and put it on our Twitter page as the cover photo. That would be awesome.
Do you ever see, do you know this guy, Anatoly? Have you ever seen these videos? They're on Instagram maybe, or they're just these videos of this guy who pretends to be a cleaner, and then there's giant weightlifters there, and the guy, as it turns out, is like a competitive weightlifter. He's unbelievably strong, but he just looks like a skinny guy. So he's in like workman clothes and stuff, and he's got this mop that weighs like 70 pounds, and then he will be like, guys, do you mind if I just attempt to lift that? And they're all laughing at him and telling him, no, you're going to hurt your back. Come back in 3 years. And then he just, it's unbelievable.
Because he's really cut.
Underneath his thing, he's just a human muscle.
A lot of people are like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of
very unassuming.
And I think your guy, Ben Johnson, is
that
probably,
must be.
If he could squat 405, that's pretty good for a professional coach who's kind of a skinny, lean-looking dude.
He is lean. If he's squatting 405, no more nerd jokes.
Oh, who made the nerd jokes?
It's not that big of a deal. 405.
Says you?
Yeah, I mean.
I took the 405. never mind.
I mean, yesterday did he do it, or like in his life he did it?
Well, I think we're talking about current, right?
I need a little clarification. I mean, ever?
Oh, okay, we should have Ben Johnson on just to get him clarified. He's doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, he's under 40.
He's under 40.
So, I mean, he still has.
Did he do it in his 20s, his teens, or his 30s?
Or yesterday.
Or yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe yesterday.
Still be in his 30s.
That
would be impressive.
He's hitting it,
405 in his late 30s would be impressive.
Do you think he picked the Bears because of Caleb Williams? Do you think he picked the Bears because of Chicago? No, he picked the Bears because Hallis Hall has a sixth rated weight room.
That's exactly
in the NFL.
Right. It's the weight
ding,
room.
Ding, ding, ding,
come
ding.
On. That's why.
They were.
Survey says.
Six.
This is Ben Johnson's dream.
Yeah.
He can grind tape for like 10 hours a day. Then he can go down and throw weights around for another six.
Pretty
then he can
good.
Go home.
That's what they do there. I mean, they do.
They just lift and watch tape.
Work out all the time. They're in the building, basically. You just kind of sleep on a cot in your office.
I think if you work there, you get a lifetime membership for $50. Or is that here?
If I had a guess, Olin probably warms up with 405.
It's here.
Okay.
Well, he's not Olin Kreutz.
Nobody's saying he's Olin Kreutz.
Olin warms
he's a walk-on college quarterback squatting 405 as an NFL head coach. That's something.
Again, did he do it when he was 17 or 37?
Wow. I didn't think that would be unimpressive to you.
I thought it was pretty cool. I'm surprised that Dustin is not impressed, but that's Dustin.
Didn't say I wasn't impressed. I'm asking a question. I'm looking for clarification.
Now that we know,
impressive at 37 than 17.
We're going to have Ben Johnson in here one day in studio, and Dustin's going to be sitting in there, and he's going to be texting us these little questions that he has come up in the chat, and one's going to be like, what'd you bench in high school?
If we get Ben Johnson in studio, I will bring my barbaric weight set that I still have. I got about 600 pounds sitting in my parents' garage. I'll bring it in and we'll see what he can do.
A lift off.
That's so funny.
Can we take him down to eight, David? Could we take him? Do they got a squat rack at eight?
Oh, they got a
squat rack
on the eighth floor. They got all the things. Yeah, as they renovate the Prudential Building. Weight facility, workout area.
The workout room is in the other building.
Yes.
But they're redoing it.
Temporarily, it's on the eighth floor here.
So they moved it to the eighth floor.
One floor down.
Very impressive.
It is.
There are offices, and you could open a door to an office, and there's just a tread,
It's like, hello. I have my 10:40 meeting, and I'm going to be on the treadmill while I do it.
Yeah, I'm going to be on a Zoom call.
In between, I have some dumbbells to lift.
It's unbelievable. Literally, there's like a room with nothing in it.
It's very corporate. But there's an office. There's literally offices.
Yep.
There's a business there. And you go down four more doors, and I'm walking in there, and that's where you get on the treadmill and you lift weights.
It's hilarious.
So it's very convenient. And if Ben Johnson were ever to be here.
It's temporary. At the end of
it's temporary.
Yeah,
it's temporary.
They'll be moving back.
Yeah, they'll be there. They've done a great job with it.
And as we have said many times, the problem with downstairs is there's no shower. Because they couldn't just put a shower in, but they at the gym on the other side, where we are $50 for life.
Yep.
You could, if you were running late and you had to go to a funeral or something, just bring your suit, run over and take a shower.
That sounds really specific.
I've done that before. That
so there was never a big boss on the eighth floor here that had a shower in his corner office?
Have you been to the eighth floor?
I don't think so.
No.
They cleared out the eighth floor.
It's pretty Spartan.
And it's like this wide open.
Yeah.
It is super cool.
Were we on 12 before we came to 9?
We were on 12 in this building, though.
In this building, Prudential building,
there is the 12th floor has been kind of they kind of gutted the whole thing. There's like a hidden bathroom there that's pretty good. There's like the whole workout area where you're literally overlooking Millennium Park while you're
it's a very good setup for exercise.
And don't they do like yoga classes and stuff?
They do a lot of classes.
Yeah.
They have it all going on. And Ben Johnson's always welcome. He wants to come work out. I'd lift with Ben.
We come in here, we talk to him, we interview him, and then we walk over and we load up 405 pounds and we say, go, Ben.
I bet he's one of those guys that could run forever.
He looks like it.
Yeah, he looks like he could keep out. I bet he runs a couple 5Ks, 10Ks.
And Dustin, when you said like no geek jokes or no, what did you say? No nerd jokes. That's not him. That's the guy in Carolina. Have you seen the new general manager that beat
that's
out Ian
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville.
But people have made
they blend together in my mind.
The math nerd jokes they have attached to Ben Johnson at times.
Oh, really?
But nobody's going to be calling him anything except for coach.
Yeah, the greatest.
If he's squatting 405,
the greatest
at 39
muscle,
years old,
greatest muscle in his body is connected to his brain. That's the key. The guy, never mind what he lifted in high school, he aced the ACT, 36 on the ACT.
And he's not 40 years old yet, is he?
No, he's not even 40.
He's going to motivate me now to get back on the squat rack.
That's really impressive that he's got that kind of hold over you.
That sounds like a man buckling his back. That sounds like...
I don't like the thought of that, though.
Get three screws in a plate so Dustin could stand again. That's what it sounds like.
I don't think that's a good idea, Dustin. Yeah,
it sounds like you could hurt yourself, buddy.
You can lift weights and you can stay fit and lean and tone, and you don't have to squat.
Yeah, you could bench a little bit.
It's an unnatural thing.
It's a fantastic exercise for your core. It's like it basically goes from
your
chest to your ankles.
I'm aware, Dustin. I'm not like a newbie here, but I do think that it hurts.
The squat,
I do think it would hurt my back.
I think the squat days are over, brother.
Yeah, squat days are over.
Being honest with you. You might want to. Or, you know what's really good is like kind of you can lift all you want, just lighten the weights a little bit.
I don't think I've gotten on a squat rack in 2 decades at least.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, maybe start with.
But I'm saying Ben Johnson might have just motivated
55,
me.
55, 60 pounds.
Ben Johnson's got a lot of people motivated. A lot of people motivated. She's had a good week down there in Indy.
He's been great.
And it's not over yet. They got who's working out today after the kickers and punters worked out yesterday? I don't know. Who's on the agenda today?
I think the old linemen are they today or tomorrow?
Old linemen are this weekend.
End of the week.
Yeah. By the way, this question, I wondered, I got the answer to it. The answer is yes, and I wondered yesterday, kickers and punters run the 40?
Do they?
Yeah, I wondered that, but they do apparently. Why would they at the combine? Why would you care what your kicker's 40 time is or your punter's 40
time
is?
Why would you care what your offensive guard's 40 yard
time is? Well, that's different. That's different. You need to pull sometimes.
A different sport, but along those lines, I don't know if you were doing a lot of reading yesterday about Kyle Teal. We had fun. We played the home run, the noise. Apparently, after that happened, he spent a lot of time. He was interviewed by the entire Japanese media corps, and he's now become sort of an international man of mystery as a result. But I read Scott Merkin did a story about him, you know, just out of that funny thing, and you got a great lead of him taking Roki deep and all that. But and on the backfield, like they don't run bases. You know? And I guess players are coming by and making jokes about it. It's a simulated B game. But he talked about how he's been improving his speed. He's a catcher, and he's been working on improving his speed, and he wants to get faster, and he's improved like all of his times over the offseason.
Well, he's an excellent athlete.
He basically says that people now want catchers to also be, as you say, an excellent athlete. It's no longer get the guy with the squatty body behind the plate. You know, he can keep the ball from getting to the wall. It was just pretty funny. It made me kind of chuckle.
You see what he
myself.
Did there, Dustin? You see what he did there? All roads lead back to Kyle Teal.
No, I didn't do
he's
that.
He's going to be the guy.
I'm saying it triggered exactly what we're talking about
Kyle
with the combine.
Reference. He is a strong man, Kyle Teal, and a good athlete.
A very interesting
I wonder what
person.
Kyle Teal would run the 40 in.
My point is he's gotten faster.
Your on-field workouts today.
There it is. There's the
defensive line and the linebackers.
That's the White Sox highlight.
Defensive line and linebackers?
Are on field today. Defensive backs and tight ends are going to be doing the talking, media interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers are having their medicals today.
Wow.
The offensive line are having team interviews today.
The whole purpose of the combine, as you have pointed out, the original purpose was because of its proximity to hospitals.
That's right.
And Abdul-Carter reminded us last night why it's in Indianapolis, because those medicals are the main reason for all of the attention focused on Indy this week.
The great George Young once told me, the late great George Young, that the combine, he said, when you see players drop in the combine, 9 times out of 10, it has to do with the medicals.
Yeah.
That is such an essential part of it. Not that they're hiding it in the combine and the numbers all matter, but the medicals are where you really figure out, because you look at guys and what you're trying to project is how long are they going to have their career?
Availability.
How long will they hold up?
Yes.
Exactly.
Which is why the news overnight is very sad for Abdul-Carter. And shocking in the biggest story of the week, potentially.
Stress.
ESPN, I don't know if it's a stress fracture, but he could require surgery on his foot.
Be 4-week layoff. Apparently, we were told he's not working out because he's got the shoulder thing.
Right.
And the shoulder thing is really did injure his shoulder, but he's not running. He's not doing anything because of the foot. He's got a stress, I guess they're calling it, he has stress in his foot.
It's a stress fracture then.
That's what it is.
If it's a stress in his foot and they're worried about a fracture, it's a stress fracture potentially. And something they're considering with terms of surgery tells you that there's a red flag now suddenly waving wildly in front of the name of Abdul-Carter.
It's
a shame.
You get that on your board
it's a
and
shame.
You let that guy go.
And
I mean, this is for sure Well, maybe not for sure, but he was going to be either the first player taken or the first defensive player taken. I think that changes now.
Certainty. Well, he certainly was going to be. This news changes everything, and everyone's got to reevaluate. We'll talk about it at the pick six, but it definitely is, to me, one of the bigger developments of the week in the NFL Combine.
But it also matters, like, what is Travis Hunter, a cornerback, or is he a wide receiver as far as the first defensive
player? Those are more fun
go,
debates.
Right?
I mean, that's a fun debate. Thing to worry about.
I love that debate. Yeah. If you're Abdul Carter, I feel bad for his camp and the kid and everything.
That's it.
Because this is a guy that we thought was Micah Parsons. And he might still be.
Where's his number? Goes to his school. Has talked about that.
Stock plummeting right there. So we'll talk about that. The Bulls also big winners last night.
Well, big losers big winners. They were in that game.
I'm looking at Dustin. They lost, but they're big winners, according to Dustin. Did you hear the glee in his voice when he was reporting the Bulls lost during the pregame show?
Well, it was one of those perfect losses if you're a team that needs to lose. And I guess based on the ping pong balls, you got to keep losing.
Big winners for that crowd. Big losers to me, because I think that was a game they could have won.
Yeah, they could have won that game. It was a close game.
The Zach Collins game.
They were in that game the whole game.
It was competitive down to the last possession. James Harden did what James Harden does.
Is it possible, and I'm making a joke here, so don't anybody take it seriously. Is it possible they're going to end up winning the Zach LaVine deal? That's a joke, because they're all out of contract. I'm just making a joke.
Well, Zach Collins is better than I thought he was. Did they stumble into a big man?
Well, they fell into that one because Vooch was out. I mean, if Vooch is playing, if Jalen Smith's healthy, you're not going to see the guy.
38 minutes for Zach Collins.
A sack attack!
and Herter. He played the third guy, got 16 points or something. What's his name?
Jones.
So the three of them were on the floor at the same time at one point. And they were outdoing Zach.
And Josh Giddey got another double-double. The difference was he had five turnovers, though.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Five turnovers.
But he's playing a lot better.
Would you give him $2 million a year now after last night's game?
4-4 from three, is that right? I mean, we're still hovering just over $15 million. We haven't gotten
it. Yeah, you're not
yet.
Even close to what he's going to make.
The thing with Josh Giddey, though.
We haven't gotten it for the offer.
He was really good with OKC before Shea kind of took off. The thing there's no Zach LaVine. So now the ball's more in his hands. So more stats, he's filling
That's
it up more.
That's a good point.
That's all it is.
I wonder what Casey Johnson at 9 o'clock will say about the future of Josh Giddey, because the Bulls are in a position where they could let somebody else set the market, but are they willing to pay? But they're not in position.
If everyone's coming back, you don't trade Caruso for a guy and then he's a 1 year and off.
Theoretically,
right?
You don't, but they've done a lot of things that you would say theoretically they shouldn't do.
That's very true.
That's how we are in the situation we're in, watching the Bulls run in place. And last night was one of those games where they say big winners because a lot of people were celebrating that loss. I think that.
You hate doing that.
I do. It's just the worst thing about professional sports. I can't wait for the season to get over because of that, because every game you look at it that way. That was a competitive game. It was entertaining. And then people are happy at the end because they lost. Well, what? Why? That's a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Yeah, Dustin, book Theo Epstein. We'll talk about it.
He ruined it for everybody, didn't he?
He's one of the people.
He's one of the guys. The Cubs, the Astros, they perfected the tank, and they benefited from it. So now it's intentionally losing to improve your chances percentage, like 10%. I know the numbers, but it just seems like it's hard. It's harder to watch them because of that.
I thought that was a very watchable game last night. Honestly, I was watching a lot of Loyola, but during the breaks I would go over, and it wasn't like I was racing to get back. And the Ramblers. The only reason I didn't turn that off is because when your college team is basically up 10 the whole game, up 20 the whole game, that's a good game.
It's a good game.
Fun game to watch.
It's a fun game, and Loyola gets their 10th victory in the Atlantic 10, I believe.
Go Ramblers!
They're in a very good spot here in late February. Also, how about Michigan State?
That was incredible.
How about that 60-foot shot to beat Maryland at the buzzer?
And they didn't even know if it beat the buzzer. So the buzzer
beat it. Gillespie for three! Goal or no? Holloman looks the clock. Half court for the win!
Oh!
Then they had to go check, and they said, yeah, he did. That was the Big Ten Network thing.
Yes, and that was the highlight of the night. Tom Izzo gets the victory. What a shot. And at the buzzer, it was 55-55. You think if you have the ball 5 seconds left at home, you're going to at least go to overtime at the very worst? No. Sparty rebounds, throws up a prayer. It's answered.
Yeah.
And Tom Izzo smiling.
It was fun. It was fun to see.
Fun. Fun night in college basketball. Porter Moser, your guy, lost to Kentucky, though. Oklahoma, Kentucky.
Wow. Why would you ruin the great buzz we had going with Loyola, then Michigan State?
What made me think of Porter when you said Loyola? I always think of Porter. I wish he was doing better. They started out strong.
We were talking a little bit about Porter off the air. That didn't get on the air, did it, yesterday? But we did go over a lot of the Oklahoma stuff. We knew they got in the SEC. Oklahoma, in part, to have games like that where Kentucky, you play a team like Kentucky, right? So that's why you join a conference like that, and unfortunately it didn't work out.
The thing about joining a conference like that is you have to play teams like Kentucky.
Well, the thing about joining a conference like that, all of a sudden it's the best basketball conference.
There's 14 NCAA tournament teams and 18 teams in the conference.
Are you kidding me? Good God. If you're one of the four, you're in trouble. All right. It's Mully and Haw. We got the Pick Six next on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of the Bears' NFLPA report card? What do you think Matt Eberflus thought of it? Did Eberflus bring down their score? Did he deserve his F in last place in the entire NFL, despite that the Bears graded 14th among the top half of the league overall?
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, that was apparently, that was done before he was fired. The NFLPA had already done the kind of report card. They grade everything, all the things in the building. Honestly, I'm not making a joke, I thought that their food was better than the players. I used to know the guy that cooked there. He was a good man, and I hope it's not the same dude because, boy, they didn't like the food. Huh? I think that the area got like a thumbs up, but everything else about it they didn't like. I thought it was really good for ownership. There was a positive vibe about George McCaskey and the McCaskey family and what they're trying to do. But Eberflus was taken down, and it was tough to see that score. I don't know that he deserved an F. To be last among coaches in the league has got to damage you a little bit, but probably drag down the whole grade. Probably did. Makes me wonder how much we care about the players, frankly, if they lay the coach out to dry.
There's no doubt that the F dragged the grade down. I think what's more interesting, just going back to Eberflus for a second, is the fact that he got hired as quickly as he did by the team that he was hired by. I mean, there's some good defensive players on that Cowboys roster. And again, I think at the end of the day, I think everybody would agree, may not want to admit it, but that Eberflus can call a defense in-game.
No like, question.
He can do that. What I was most surprised about...
Can't call a timeout correctly.
Can't call a timeout. Supposedly did not like advice that was given to him and executing the advice given to him. The fact that ownership received an A. I mean, for every text message and for every phone call that we get, sell the Bears, sell the Bears, sell the Bears, ownership. I mean, ownership got an A. The players think the owners did a good job, and they got an A. That to me was the most surprising thing of this list.
That's the headline.
That's
the headline.
That's the headline.
This was a poll of Bears players, not Bears fans, because it wouldn't be that way if you had Bears fans polled. I don't know about this.
What grade would the players get if the fans were polled?
About the players?
I'm just saying.
How many of them need to go? You have an organization that invested $100 million in Hallis Hall renovations. The weight room is like your finest dining room you could go to. It's It's clean. It's bright. It's airy. It's beautiful. This facility, I can't imagine a better workplace. Ownership gets an A because they have done everything in their power. All these other things sound a little bit like gripes.
Yeah.
These players, the cap has gone up 2 years in a row by $51 million. These players are paid well. I know there's a lot of things about football that you have to, you know, you can complain about, but they're living a pretty good life. All these things sound like petty complaints. My goodness, Matt Eberflus, kick a guy while he's down. Oh. He didn't listen to the players. He had eight captains, a leadership council, and they still staged a mutiny. So who are we pointing a finger at here? This is entertaining. It's good to talk about, but really, I mean, 14th is about right.
Especially, is it Miami 2 years running?
Congratulations. Miami? You get January off. They're not in the playoffs.
No, what's the value?
So what does that
winning?
Mean? Number one, mythical title.
Weren't the Chiefs like dead last a year ago?
They were dead last a year ago. They won the Super Bowl. Yeah, they were 31st this year. They went back. So how bad
31st?
Could it be?
Wow.
There's no question.
What did you think of Ben Johnson telling Barstool in an interview that he could squat 405 pounds?
You know, I go ass to ankles.
Okay.
And so I probably could get 405 right now.
Whoa. That's pretty good.
How many NFL coaches can do that, and do you like Johnson's macho side?
It was a surprise. Definitely did not expect that to be on the bingo card this week. Vrabel probably could. Sean McDermott, could he go 405? Are we good? Tomlin? How many? I'd say.
How many coaches use the term ass to ankle?
That's a better question. I'm telling you, we like the guy talking a lot. He's talking a lot. He's still talking. What's he going to talk about today? His fastest mile ever?
Could that McDaniels down in Miami, think he could squat that?
No, he's too busy making sure the workplace is good environment.
The food tastes good.
And the food tastes good. Chef Mike McDaniels. Still cooking. This was an entertaining little sidelight to Combine Week, but it got you thinking, how many other coaches? I don't know. Is he the strongest coach in the league?
Smartest
and the strongest. Bob Bear's got a bargain. I bet you LaFleur can't. I bet you Matt LaFleur can't do 405.
The flower wouldn't.
Does Andy Reid weigh 405? I mean, I just say, but he said, to answer the question that I had, I think right now I could do 405. And now when you say ass to ankle, that means he's putting his tush on the floor. Okay, yeah. Not even going, he's going way below level. Because that was the thing, you know, back in our barbaric weightlifting days, we actually wore like a level on our thigh. When it beeped, you could go up. When we were doing like weightlifting contests back in the day, you actually wore like a garter with a beeper on it. And when it beeped, you went up. Otherwise, it was like not an official weight.
I feel like I'm at like a Republican political convention where you're... playing this music in the background.
Well, he said macho. I mean, that was
I love it.
He said
I love
macho.
It. I'm all for
all
it.
I can say and wonder is, I mean, he heard this too, is Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, 6 a.m. in Detroit, working out in the Lions weight room.
I guarantee he can go over 405, yeah. Especially after he's all, you know.
He's the guy.
Gathered up.
Yeah, he's the strongest, I think.
Yeah. That was great. Remember the old, when Jesse Ventura was the governor of Minnesota, our governor can beat up your governor.
That was fun.
Our coach could probably run a QB sneak at the goal line. He wouldn't need much of a tush-push.
What about
it's
Kyle Shanahan?
Lower body power.
He's a stud.
Kyle Shanahan is
more of a treadmill guy, I'm thinking. More of an elliptical.
Yeah, elliptical. I like that. That would be it.
Not a big elliptical guy.
But the point is, it's not about brawn or power.
No, it's not.
Which this implies. That's pretty good. Ask the ankles, best coach in the league.
It's a good quote.
Yeah, it's a good question.
With ESPN reporting overnight that Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter might need foot surgery, would you take him number one overall? Would you take him at number 10 if he drops to the Bears? How tough of a dilemma is this?
I am deflated quite a bit by this, to be honest with you. You know, we were talking before the combine started, and I believe he was the guy you had on your Vontae Mack list, right?
Yes,
the name you wrote down, as
Abdul Carter no matter what.
And you know, he's had an unbelievable career. He's a really good player. I hate hearing stuff like that. A lot of times it's not so much what the injury is or the illness or what happens to someone, it's how they can deal with it that matters. But you don't want to take a chance. We're talking about the Bears. Will they get a chance to throw $22 million at Trey Smith? You know, he had issues with coming into the draft. He ended up falling pretty far in the draft.
That's a good point.
And you see guys that fall in a draft and have great careers, but it will stop teams from investing high. So I believe it will impact his status in the draft. You know, they have the combine, and then right before the draft, they have what's called the combine recheck, where guys that have issues will go back and they'll see where they are right before they go on the board. But, you know, when you talk about stress fracture, when you talk about any kind of hidden injury, illness, that is why guys fall. The only reason people real, I mean, people always wonder about, oh, what happened? Did he take a drug? Did he fail the character? No, it's mainly the medicals that make people fall in drafts. So I worry that it's cost him a lot of money. That's all. Hopefully he gets through it.
If the Google machine is right, it's a 6 to 8 week injury.
Big no, deal. It's a 6 to 8 week surgery.
Surgery?
Yeah, he would have to have surgery, and then it would be six to 8 weeks.
Recovery time.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I just said.
But keep going. Different. I'm saying surgery. It means he has an issue. It means he had to have something fixed before he plays. And surgery before play, no good.
He's already played. Molly would never sign a pitcher who had Tommy John. You know how many people have surgeries?
I never said that.
I didn't, but you just said I said something that I didn't say. I'm just saying,
why are we finishing each other's sentences and arguing about this?
Well, that's what the Pick Six is all about, apparently. I would run the card up there if I were the Bears. There's no shot. I mean, maybe he doesn't go number one. I get that. I mean, maybe the Cleveland Browns, okay, maybe if he falls to two, okay, now all of a sudden I will trade the guy who doesn't want to be here at the second. He's not, I mean, would he get past four? I think Mike Vrabel would be all in on Abdul Carter. And if the Bears can get him, the Raiders, God, it screams Raiders. Abdul Carter screams Raiders to me. Listen, this guy, it's not a big deal. It's news. We're all looking for a nugget. It's something. Maybe he doesn't go number one. I don't know that he was going number one in the first place. But this wouldn't scare me for the Bears. Listen, if the Bears can get him at 10, no problem. Let him sit the whole year. I don't care. But it's all a 6 to 8 week injury.
Let's add some information to the speculation. Adam Schefter reports option one for Abdul Carter is to have the preemptive surgery, have a screw inserted in his right foot, and be expected back in 8 weeks. Let me repeat that for people who didn't hear it. Have a screw inserted in his right foot. Okay? Talking about the number one overall draft pick potentially. Option two, bypass the surgery, do the pro day, and prove to NFL teams he doesn't need it. While they wonder if he needs a screw inserted in his right foot. This is the guy who was the best player in the draft. This is news that is shocking.
Yep.
This is going to shake up the first round. I would be very cautious. You've got a lot of other choices. I love the player. You know I love the player. I don't love the risk. I think a team would have to be desperate to take him. Knowing what we know now, this is a fluid situation. More information will come. But based on the way it's reported, Schefter knows. It seems like this is a big deal because of what that implies. If you have a screw inserted in your foot, I know a lot of guys who probably could play through that and that never be an issue, but it's a risk. It's a ticking time bomb. I don't know if it's a good risk to take if you're the Bears at 10, if you're the Titans at 1, if you're anybody lower than in the top half of this draft. Somebody's going to get a heck of a player, and maybe this will never be an issue. But I went from writing down Abdul Carter no matter what to adding one word to that. Avoid Abdul Carter, no matter what.
Wow, Mr. David, that's good stuff. That's a fun. Both of you are out of your heads. It's really good that you are overly cautious, and he is just too aggressive. I think, for me, the problem with this, if you just think about it from a Bears perspective, it's not whether you can get him. Can he fall to you? It's that he's falling. that means that there's another player that will move up. It means that a team that was going to take a pass rusher, maybe now they want an offensive tackle. I'm not sure that you have a choice of whether or not you can take a guy because you need so much immediate help on the offensive line.
It's a great question.
That's the voice of Matt Shaw with Mully and Haw. And still iffy health-wise, how welcome was Justin Turner sounding willing to play third base and prepping to do so?
I've been taking a lot of ground balls at third, you know, just mainly to get my arm back in shape. And I played a lot more first base the last two seasons than I have over there. So just getting work in there. Like I said, stretching out my arm. Want to be comfortable over there in case something happens or I got to be over there.
What did you think of what Justin Turner just said? If he's got to be over there, he's going to get himself ready.
Team guy, consummate pro. The more he talks, the more I like. He definitely is a guy who can hit if he's in the lineup, regardless of his role. He can be coming off the bench. He could be your DH. He could be your everyday third baseman for a stretch. What Bruce told us yesterday about Matt Shaw not making the trip to Japan was just hard, cold reality smacking me in the face. And I think that's what you have to get used to. I don't know if Matt Shaw's back yet. Has he started yet? Where is Matt Shaw? He's in Arizona. Did he take ground balls yesterday? When's he going to be in the lineup? All I care about is that. But in the interim, if Justin Turner has to play third base, he sounds like he's willing to. The more he talks, the more everyone's going to like. But I don't like this development and what it means for Shaw.
Well, I think all eyes each day when you see the lineup card for the Cubs at spring training is going, like, who's on third? And you're going to want to see, like, seriously, like, who's on third?
I know.
Are we going to see Justin Turner in a game at third, or is this going to be on the backfields? And listen, in all seriousness, for a two-game stretch against the Dodgers, just for that little storyline, I think it's perfect. I'm fine with Justin Turner for two games in Japan against the Dodgers. Now, I don't want Justin Turner being there more than like about 10 games overall, or maybe more than five. But for two games, I could do that, especially against the Dodgers in Japan.
So,
like the story.
I don't want to put, you know, any rain on the parade here, but let me ask you this question. What if he gets no training camp? Then does he have to go to Iowa? I'm not kidding.
Yes.
When does he have to be in games? How do you get him ready for a Major League Baseball season if this is going to extend for a long time here? We're already saying scratch him for March 18th. Good God, that's a long way down the road, right? Isn't that a long time that you're not going to be able to be up and running and be able to play in a Major League game? So is there a date in anyone's mind, or is there a date that we could look up based on other players where he's got to start in the minor leagues just so he has enough camp there in real games to get himself ready for the major leagues? I'm just wondering if there, because you know what? He's plan A, guys. Plan B was that you were going to have a different plan A. You didn't. So B becomes A. It's his job. And the idea that we're hoping the 40-year-old can bend down and get a grounder seems like we're hitting a panic button awful early. I love that he's willing to do it and he's working on it. He reads the writing on the wall. He knows they're a good team. They're just going to need me to turn back the clock. I hear what you're saying, Dustin, about a game or two. I think he's not a legitimate candidate. He's more of a emergency get-out-of-a-game guy at this point in his career. And I don't mean that as an insult. I think he's a very willing and a good guy. But I'm just saying physically, I don't – how many times has he played third base in the last couple of years? It's like
not much
to nothing.
Not much.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
Voice of Bruce Levine in his regular spring training spot of 825. What did you make of the White Sox young power lefties making their spring training debuts in a close 3-1 loss to the Padres? Which young star will get to the big leagues faster, Nola Schultz or Hagen Smith? The two have developed an easy friendship.
I thought it was great. I read Noah Schultz saying he only has sisters and, you know, he feels like he's got a brother in Hagen Smith because they're two young studs. They're 21 years old. I think Smith might be the guy that's heading to the big leagues faster, But, you know, Noah Schultz, I read a story, I think it was by Merck, earlier in camp where they talked about they're kind of going to take off some of the training wheels. Like, at this point in his career, he has not gone more than 65 pitches through the major leagues. You know, they're trying to be super careful with him because he's such a stud. And they're, you know, he's pitching like four innings. They're still kind of, they still have him on this kind of pitch count, and they're trying to make sure that this is the year where he's going to kind of, you know, he's it with the dash and then the Barons last year. I think maybe he moves up, maybe he doesn't, maybe he's back in Double A, but I think he's heading the right way, and he's a very exciting prospect and the highest prospect on the team. But I think that maybe the other guy, Hagen Smith, is closer to the big leagues. But I believe the plan is for the two of them to be up and running by 26, or that's the hope.
I hope these guys are working out together and are pitching at the same spot. You know, the Double A, the Triple A, you know, the High A, whatever it is. I hope they stay together to develop the friendship that they're already developing. And I'm not kidding. This might be part of why the billionaire Justin Ishbia wants to buy this team. And guess what? Then all of a sudden, that story might make Sox fans even happier, because now maybe it's not just, okay, the Sox are going to try to develop these guys and then trade them because they'll never pay them once they get past the second contract. So this is actually really good news, and it's exciting. It's more exciting.
That is an excellent point because
you could feel, I'm just, as a fan, you could feel like we're seeing this development. These guys are special, and they might not actually leave or get traded.
See, that's a great point, because with Chris Sale, there was always a sense of inevitability that he was going to have to go. Carlos Rodon, same kind of thing as Dustin rolls his eyes. But when I watched Hagen Smith pitching yesterday, I thought of Carlos Rodon. There was some similarities there because they're both left-handed. They have similar type releases, and I think that he's a guy that you can get excited about, maybe because you're going to be able to keep him and pair him with Noah Schultz, who you might be able to also keep and pay and win with and because of. That was exciting yesterday. I like the idea of tethering them together throughout the minor leagues because of the relationship they have, and also the development paths that seem to be pretty clear for maybe 2026, maybe late 2025. Bruce seems to think that they are on that track and they could be up sooner rather than later. I did enjoy seeing them pitch both yesterday, one inning apiece. Hagen Smith, good old boy, seemed to like get off the truck, pick up and go and just start throwing hard. And he struck out three guys. That was fun. I also liked, we'll hear it later, but Brooke Fletcher interviewing Noah Schultz's dad as he recorded his first out. That was a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Both questions are hard.
How much time did you spend with the Bulls last night? Did the result do much for you? Did anybody stand out to you?
The result was what it was. They lost, and I felt like that was a game they could have won. So it wasn't even a rooting interest. You just get conditioned to watching games. Like, oh, they can get here. Oh, you're disappointed when James Harden hit that big three, because that's what he always does. But there were things to like. Again, individual progress in the face of collective failure. And that's what we're looking for here. And when you see, I don't know what Zach Collins is to the Bulls. I'm not sure what he is. Is he a keeper? But he's making the most of his advantage of his opportunity. He's taking advantage of that because he's also auditioning for the other teams in the league as well. So you see little things. You see Giddey continue to have a double-double, and that was good. I don't know what they're going to do with him. A lot of guys whose names and games you're learning on the fly. Trey Jones, 10 points? Really? People probably didn't know he was part of this team, but he did have double figures in an NBA game in Chicago in a Bulls uniform. So, yeah, more of the same. Raptors here Friday night, ready or not.
Almost perfection. Almost perfection. I watched and listened. I was back and forth. I was driving around. Watched it, listened to it. Chuck and Bill did a great job, as they typically do here on The Score. If there was one problem with the game, It was that Matas Buzelis went from playing 36 minutes to 26 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So wait, like, wouldn't you want him to play in front of the home crowd as opposed to the visiting crowd?
Gotta earn it.
5 points.
Gotta earn it.
He only had 5 points.
Didn't like that.
And he was a minus 18. So from a plus-minus ratio, he was the worst of any Bull. So that I did not like. That was the Zach Collins game. So we found out who Zach Collins was last night. Perfection. Hashtag capture the flag.
I think that, Zach Collins had a great game for himself. I think it's just another example of Josh Giddey sort of filling the void that is left by Zach LaVine's departure. And this is a guy who has averaged 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists since the All-Star break. He's found this role. It's interesting to me because when I think about it, when Zach was injured, that's when Kobe sort of took over. And you saw the best of Kobe, and he became like a significantly better player. And now we see Zach depart, and it's Josh Giddey this year that seems to be filling the void of his absence and seems to be getting more shots. And it was good that he knocked down his threes. The problem with him is the turnovers, and he had 5 of them, and that's too many. But his all-around game has really come forward as you hit this crucial section for him where his contract expires. His contract runs out at the end of the year. They still control him, but they're going to have to figure out what decision they want to make.
How close are we to a Patrick Williams reevaluation in terms of his health? Are we coming up on the 2-week period? Because I think it's close.
I haven't thought about him since he was out. Isn't that awful?
Well, in the final 20 games or so, you'd like to, I know it's unrealistic, but you want guys to assume roles down the stretch that you think they could fill when you actually are good. Josh Giddey is a perfect example of that. You wonder how he would play when he isn't the primary ball handler and when he isn't maybe one of the top one or two options. So if he can continue that, if they ever got to the point where he wasn't that guy, well, he'd be worth keeping at a reasonable cost. I don't know about Patrick Williams either. Both have a lot of questions.
Okay.
A lot of questions.
Nothing but questions.
But Dustin's happy, though, so it's a perfection.
Perfect win.
Perfect win.
Because they lost.
Perfect win. Go
all
lift.
Right.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
How significant is it that the NFL will begin using the Hawkeye virtual measurement system starting next season? The chain gang will remain on the sideline as a backup. All measurements would therefore be done virtually and not via on-field officials. Other changes being considered include playoff overtime rules, both teams getting a chance to score TD the first time they touch the ball. VP of Football Ops Troy Vincent also said the NFL is considering, quote, expanding replay assist, and the league, quote, needs to do something, end quote, about onside kicks. Your reaction to all these rules changes?
This is what this week is about. You need to discuss the game, how to improve it. That's what they have at these meetings. It's more than just going to watch guys run 40s, lift weights, and have your coaches make the rounds. This is where real change can happen. And I love the idea of the chain gang becoming more than just a few guys with good seats to a big game. And then, hey, did you see that? First and 10. All right, let's go. The guys are running down there to the chains. Oh, he tripped a little bit. He stumbled a little bit. Oh, God. Oh, all right. Wait. Oh, but move it back six, a smidge. All right, yeah, that's great. Oh, big playoff game, doesn't matter. Move it back another smidge. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't take Josh Allen being stopped or not stopped or that big debate for technology to take hold. But I love, what is it, the Hawkeye virtual measurement system. Amen. Cue the chorus. Alleluia. Finally, time is here. Those guys can still be on the chain gang. Have a ticket auction. Make it a giveaway. Be a promotion. But don't make them matter. Those guys can't matter. They matter way too much. So this is progress. I love the onside kick concern because I think they ruled that out of the game. I think you need to bring that back. And the other stuff, overtime is always being talked about. A little boring by now. But I love the chain game switch.
Oh, David, we're going to cue up that song for you. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
Yeah.
Hey. I want a, like a tutorial, though, on how this Hawkeye virtual measurement system works. Like, is this kind of like what they use in tennis with the ball? Like on the, I mean, is this going to slow the game down? I'm just saying, like, how?
Right.
I want to see,
Dustin. The difference is. I don't think it'll slow the game down. It's all with replay. They're going to look at everything. They're going to measure it. There's still no chip or anything.
That's what
like
I mean.
That.
So how does it work exactly?
What it works is, yeah.
Okay.
How it works is the referee is told in his ear the ball's exactly here, and then he places it there, and then nobody can complain that they laid the ball in the wrong spot.
But how do they know? I guess my question is
that all through the technology.
Yeah,
they have
I need more info. I like the idea. I just need more info. And then, I mean, is there an advantage for the Chiefs involved in any of this?
See, that's the thing. Everybody's been complaining about it. We had a conversation where it got so crazy. There were so many conspiracy theories surrounding the NFL and what they're doing that they decided, you know what? We'll just do it in an office and let you know. So therefore, you have no chance to complain, and you can't argue about it. We're going to have the machines do it. We were talking about that, like, how has the world advanced? Do you still have a chain gang? You know, how is it that all the technology is different and you still have a bunch of guys trying to stretch the chain to see where the first down marker is? I got to tell you. So I think this is the right thing because this is exactly the correct way of sort of taking this element of doubt out of the game, although everyone will think it's they fixed the machines. I do think, though, that from the first time I ever played football, from the first time I ever covered football, I remember, you know, you need specific statistics that you like to keep on your own. When you're watching like a high school game when you're 20 years old and trying to start out as a sports writer, I would walk with the chain gang and I would measure everything covering a game. And I'll tell you what, like as you well know, this idea of like having an honorary chain gang or something, it's you're going to end up with about 15 people with broken legs in a year. There is so much violence in the game
of
football.
It's a dangerous spot to be.
As you step up in different, you know, I'm talking about from high school to small college to the NFL, people could get killed on those sidelines. Those guys do a hell of a job. And they're trained, and that's what you have to have. But I think I like that it's going to be different. I think that, you know, it's weird to me that we're still doing the same stuff. Now let's get to air travel and figure out a way to make it faster.
Wow. That's quite a departure, so to speak.
There you go.
On time departure.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, ooh.
Noah's put a lot of work in through the years, a lot of time, a lot of sacrifices on his part, and I think, you know, this is his dream to be pitching at the major league level. And double play. Sorry.
Noah, I'm applauding too.
And it's been his dream to get here, so I'm very happy for him and proud of him, the work he's put in.
Oh, my God, it's so awesome. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Larry Schultz. He's the father of Noah Schultz. And Brooke Fletcher found him on the in the crowd watching his son's spring training debut and was doing an interview with him while the kid coaxes a double play.
Great timing.
Oh, was that it was
great
so
timing.
Fun. It was great.
It was a lot of fun. He went with the play-by-play. Been there, done that. And
You're the man.
Larry Schultz, watching his son make his first appearance of the spring, the pride of Oswego East, a local guy,
right?
And he's going to be fun to watch develop. He's very, This is odd to watch. I don't want this to sound the wrong way, Molly, but it's odd to watch him pitch because we've never seen the likes of him in town before. 6'9"? Or is he
six feet nine inches. Yeah, big guy.
And you want to see
water, David.
Him. He's fluid. He throws hard. He's one of these guys you watch kind of the wind. You can't look away. It's very rare that you see a pitcher that tall be that good. Hmm. The only comp is Randy Johnson because it just hasn't happened a lot. So you saw him pitch. That was a big day. Good for his dad to be there. That's an athletic family. Remember, his sisters played softball, at Northwestern. One played at Stanford, I think.
Wow.
As the story goes.
Good school.
It's an athletic family. You hope he is on the way soon. Hagen Smith struck out the side. They both gave up one hit. Those guys, when they're in the Sox rotation together, by then the team might be pretty good. Until they get there, it could be tough.
Yeah, the Sox 0-5 in the Cactus League. They are a minus 26 run differential. It's the worst of any team in the league, and they are the only team right now in the Cactus League with a negative run differential that's in the 20s, and they're almost to the 30s. 26 would be rounded off up, wouldn't it? They have, let's see. This is just some fun stuff for you. They are a combined 155 batting average. Their line right now, combined line, 179 plate appearances, 155, 247, 305. And their ERA, 771.
That's not going to cut it.
They don't do anything well. They don't have any pitching to speak of. They got young pitchers. This is almost as if the White Sox are desperate to prove that last year was no fluke.
You ask a question that we'll continue to ponder and pose throughout the course of the show. We're talking to Bruce Levine at 8:25. We'll get back to the Sox, but I do wonder this: is this roster a year later better than it was a year ago? Is this roster going into the 2025 season any better than the one that went into the 2024 season? And if not, what does that mean?
I got to tell you, that is about as damning a question as you can ask, because I think the answer is they're worse. I think that to start last year, you know, they surprised us with Garrett Crochet, who I thought was going to be an opener, ended up being a good enough starting pitcher to bring you
breakthrough player of the year.
You know, four guys.
Yep.
Eric Fetty had some success in Korea, and he comes over and he pitched great for them. They had better starting pitching, not better prospects.
They had a representative major league rotation. They had a respectable lineup. They had modest expectations, but they had higher expectations to begin last season than they do this season.
They lost that game yesterday because they booted the ball around. They had four errors.
One run. Still the infield is not exactly proven.
You can't hit, you can't pitch, and you can't defend. Other than that,
it's a good time to remind everybody it's February 27th.
Yeah.
And, wow. And the season doesn't start for what? It's 1 month from today. The Sox will be hosting Mike Trout and the Angels at the rate.
David's going.
And yes, I'll be there.
David's going to be there for sure. Dustin might go just because he's never seen Trout in person. He claims the guy won't play against the Cubs.
I'm Mike Trout.
All right. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Single to right field, round second. Oh, he's going to second. He's going to try it for third. He's safe.